This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. One of the first bills introduced on behalf of Governor Jim Justice is one aimed at organizing the number of state-owned vehicles. The governor's version of this bill, House Bill 2492, was introduced in the House of Delegates last week and referred to the Committee on Government Organization. But as Liz McCormick reports, lawmakers in that committee took up a different yet similar bill drafted by members of the House.
Members in the House Government Organization Committee took up a single bill Wednesday morning, House Bill 2004, to create and maintain a centralized state vehicle inventory system. Under the bill, the data and information regarding state vehicles would be housed in the current Fleet Management Office and would distinguish state, county, and city vehicles with different color plates, much like the system West Virginia has in place today. The problem is that system hasn't been working the way it's intended to. Republican Delegate Pat McGeehan of Hancock County questioned Adam Fridley from the Legislative Auditor's Office.
How many cars, how many vehicles in total does the state government own?
In earnest, no idea. When we conducted the audit, we got three data sets. We got from BREM, we got from the Division of Motor Vehicles, and we got from Fleet Management Office. The numbers range from 7,600 to 12,600.
7,600 to 12,600?
Yes, sir. Now, the Division of Motor Vehicles included all green license plates. That was 10,504 vehicles. Not all of those are state cars. But the data sets did have fairly significant discrepancies.
Those green license plates are how state vehicles are identified. But the problem is organizations that are considered quasi-state agencies, such as community senior centers or public service districts, also get green plates even though the state doesn't technically own them. House Government Organization Chair Gary Howell is the bill's lead sponsor.
When the state can't answer a question of a $200 million plus asset, how much it's actually there, we got a problem, so we started looking into it. And for the past roughly 10 months, we've been working on this with Fleet, DMV, and BREM, trying to come up with a solution.
Howell says he and other members have also worked closely with the governor's office in drafting his version of the bill. He says the state hasn't been tracking the vehicles very closely, and considering the state's budget crisis, Howell says reorganizing the system, or essentially starting the count from scratch, will help.
It won't help the budget this year, but next year, we can, once we get a number, we're going to be able to look at this and say, here's some serious cost savings. I expect to save tens of millions of dollars in the subsequent years by getting control of the fleet.
Bob Ashley, who was previously a member of both the House of Delegates and State Senate, is now the governor's legislative director. He says having so many quasi-state agencies with green-plated vehicles has posed a real problem that he says is addressed in another version of the bill presented by the governor. That bill would also create a new vehicle registry and change the plates issued to non-state agencies.
If you're a state vehicle, you're a green and white license. If you're a quasi-state vehicle, you're a black and white license, and the people will know the difference on the road.
The two versions of the bill from Delegate Howell and from Governor Justice are very similar, but the committee voted to advance the legislature's version of the bill. Ashley says creating a reliable tracking system for state vehicles will save West Virginia taxpayers money.
We're going to run more efficiently. The vehicles, fleet management will keep an eye, and they do, but they will have increased to look at the gasoline, the usage, the wear and tear, when the vehicle's been serviced. They will also have a better maintenance program for all the vehicles. It is really tightening up to make certain for the taxpayer that what vehicles are owned by the state will in fact be taken care of and recognized by the state.
Five bills have been introduced on the governor's behalf so far this session, but Ashley says a total of 29 are expected. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick at the State House.
This is West Virginia Morning at 7:48. Some dense fog this morning, cloudy skies today, temperatures in the 60s and low 70s, mostly cloudy overnight with lows in the 40s and 50s, mostly sunny on Friday with highs in the 70s. There's a chance of rain Friday night and Saturday. Overnight lows in the 40s and 50s. Highs Saturday in the 50s and low 60s.
Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com.
One of the last goals of former West Virginia Governor Earl Ray Tomlin's administration was to try to help southern West Virginia economically. As Clark Davis reports, Tomlin hopes he's found a unique way to do that.
Space. That's one of the things companies look for when they consider locating in West Virginia. They want plenty of it before they'll commit to moving factories and warehouses to the state. But former Governor Earl Ray Tomlin says the lack of flat land is often a challenge for those working to diversify West Virginia's economy.
Because one of the things that we have found out from our Commerce and Development Office is, you know, we've lost a lot of potential investors coming in simply because we could not find the level ground or enough ground suitable to build the kind of factory that they wanted.
Tomlin says many times companies need as much as 50 to 100 acres to locate in the state. And before he left the governor's office, Tomlin made sure to find that much space for multiple companies. The Hobet mine site along Route 119 in Boone County boasts 12,000 acres of flat land. Tomlin says the former mine site could be used for both industrial and commercial development, helping to revitalize the region's economy. A project to create a suitable site for business development began under the Tomlin administration, and now Hobet is known as Rock Creek Development Park, which Tomlin told West Virginia Public Broadcasting in December is already attracting attention.
We got part of the utilities there now, but I think that's going to... I'm just sorry we can't get it complete before I leave, but we got to set in motion. It's moving along very well.
The Hobet site is still being mined, although at a much smaller scale than it once was, and the reclamation process is still underway. It's that process, though, that prepares the site for new tenants. Among those tenants will be the West Virginia National Guard. In a unique relationship that's worked in other areas of the state, the Guard will use some of the land for training, as well as a new maintenance facility and even agriculture projects aimed at helping veterans. Adjutant General James Hoyer leads the state's Guard.
So I think it's really up to our imagination what it can be, how we leverage that available land and space to create opportunities for southern West Virginia that help us both diversify our economy as well as continue to enhance the opportunities that will still exist in hopefully a revitalized energy industry.
The Guard's use of the site will create a need to expand the infrastructure available there, including a more accessible route to the top of the mountain and additional water and sewer lines to support an increased amount of people working on the property. Once that infrastructure has been created, the Boone County site will be more attractive to new investors near a four-lane highway with direct access to Charleston and Yeager Airport. The West Virginia National Guard currently has training sites in the state at Camp Dawson near Kingwood, the St. Albans Readiness Center, and the Memorial Tunnel Training Complex near Gallagher, West Virginia, and a site at Camp Branch in Logan County, where they have a combat assault strip. The Guard hopes by adding Rock Creek to the list, the West Virginia network of training facilities will be more attractive to other military operations from outside the state that need a one-stop shop for training. The Guard is currently in the process of creating a maintenance shop at Rock Creek that will be able to service some of the Guard's vehicles and also those for other military branches.
We're going to be able to do some maintenance work that's also going to be tied to mobility training using what we call non-standard vehicles, so not necessarily tanks and Bradleys, but the non-standard vehicles that are used in a variety of the counterterrorism missions that go on around the globe.
But Hoyer believes the activity on the site won't start and end with the West Virginia National Guard.
The access and capability that we have to bring more of that national security and homeland security training to the state, generate an industrial base around that activity, and we think we can do it more cost effectively, more timely, and at the highest levels of quality. So that makes our nation more safe and creates jobs in West Virginia. Sounds like a winner to me.
Initially, the Guard will create 8 new positions at Rock Creek, but they say that number will likely increase in the future as more of their projects get underway. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Clark Davis in Boone County.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.